Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight on this Tuesday evening, 12-12, December the 12th, 2023. Yes, we're almost out of here for another year, but we're grateful for those of you that have followed us and who may be joining us tonight, either via Facebook live stream and or the Blog Talk Radio platform. You're welcome. The number to call us tonight is 563-999-3617. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. We do have a topic for this evening, and for those of you that may join us for the first time, the difference in a topic-oriented conversation and our open mic format is that the topic, it just like as I said, is a focus topic, and as hosts, we provide context and background for the conversation that we're holding. Give me about maybe 10 minutes here. You listen to it, and you'll hear what we're talking about, and you have an opportunity to weigh in, though, afterwards. We're going to be on for about an hour this evening and welcome you to join us here. Again, the number to call is 563-999-3617. All right, love to have you join us here. This is your host, Brother Dockery, and hopefully Pastor Waller will be able to join us, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller there. All right, having said all of that, again, we're going to invite you to listen in and to join and share your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your ideas. All right? So the truth of the matter is, for a long time, we see things happening. But quite often, because of hardships and failure, we have a tendency to lose our self and our loved ones. By nature, when we make them to be permanent for you, it can become the norm, right? But rather, it's to be corrected and avoided in the future. Now, when the circumstances of our experiences overall overwhelm us, tend to point to destructive cultural norms as a guide and practice. But we have to go back to the drawing board, beloved, and change the things that are not right in our lives, not make excuses for continuing in a destructive path. So join me tonight as we talk from the topic, looking forward to a better tomorrow. That's our topic this evening, looking forward to a better tomorrow. That's what we like to animate in our conversation this evening. And again, you can join us 653-999-3617. That is the number to call, and I will love to engage you and hear your thoughts and your ideas there, and we'll be glad to bring them on. So as you heard me speaking of, there are some considerations here as we look at where we are and where we want to be. Because as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this year is about gone. You know, we're just one Christmas dinner away, celebration away, event from next year for the most part. Okay? Now, I'm going to go from the Hebrew or the scriptural text, as we do from time to time, and tell you what the word says. Then I'm going to give you my idea about it, and we'll get to hear from you. All right? Hebrews 11:1 says this about believing, about having confidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll stop right there. Evidence of the things that you hadn't seen yet. You got some in you that drives you. Are you with me? To believe is to find or have confidence in a truth, the actual existence or the reliability of a thing, a concept, a person. Believe in them. You got to have some of that. Although without absolute proof, you still have some basis of trust. You can rely on them. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when behavioral psychologists such as the noted Carl Rogers and even Abraham Maslow, they spoke about matters of self-concept, the self-concept. What they focused on is how the individual views who they are based on their own habits and experiences. Whatever skills that they've acquired, they may have. That's what the self-concept is based on. However, when we talk about the self-concept, it is very different than self-awareness, how conscious you are about yourself and the things around you. Okay? And self-consciousness refers to the extent to which your knowledge define who you are. And so I want to make a distinction between those two. Now, people are motivated to achieve that some needs are more important to others, he suggests. He also suggests that our most basic need is for physical survival. Physical survival. And this will be the first thing that motivates us. Fire behind you, there's a natural instinct to jump and to run for safety. You see a dog coming and you look like he's a threat to you, you're gonna run, right? That physical. Let me get on up out the way. So that I can experience some physical harm or loss. Right? But once that level is fulfilled, he goes on to say that the next is what motivates us to move on. Now I want to talk about some needs, basic needs that we all have in the context of looking forward to a better tomorrow. Some people's problem is primary needs have been met, so they struggle to get to secondary needs. You see what I mean? And I hope you'll have some conversation with me here later on. Talk about psychological needs. Now, these are more biological requirements for human survival. For example, air, got to breathe, food, water that you drink, the provisions for shelter, clothing, being able to stay warm or dry, even sex and sleep. There's a need that we all have for those things. If these needs are not met or satisfied, the human body can't function optimally. Maslow considered psychological needs the most important, as all of these needs became secondary until first you meet those needs that I just spoke of, you see. And it's important that when you think about it, these things can't be taken lightly. But today, there are people, believe it or not, beloved, who are struggling to meet these very basic needs. And they wonder about not only tomorrow, but how they're going to make it the rest of today. Once an individual's psychological needs are satisfied, the need for security and safety becomes most important. People want to experience order. They like to have some predictability about things and control over the circumstances of their day-to-day life. That's reasonable. I think we all look for that. These needs can be fulfilled by your family or connections within society. Places like the police provide you a sense of safety. Your schools, children go to school to eat and get other types of support. Businesses or medical care. Those are some examples. Now, when we talk about emotional security or financial security, what we're talking about is the ability to not only get a job, but to stay on there and to find one that is commensurate with your needs, with your quality of life that you have for yourself, right? Social welfare. Again, talking about having law and order in your neighborhood, in your community, where you don't have to look over your shoulder when you come home from work or school or wherever you're coming from. The freedom to not be afraid. Huh? Did y'all hear what I said? The freedom to not be afraid. Right? Being able to say, I'm stable. I got me a place, my own pad. My health is intact. Right? And I got pretty good well-being going for me right now. I'm not at threat of having major injury or accident or anything like that. That's safety needs. Then your love and belonging. The something. Everybody needs somebody to hold on to. Good God Almighty. Huh? We're talking about the need for belonging. Oh, it don't make you no bad person to need that. No, it don't. No, it don't. Not at all. Now, after we get past the physiological aspects and safety needs, we then start talking about these other or this third level of human needs, right, which is more social oriented. And it involves attachment and feelings, emotions to someone else or other people. This starts at home with your parents. Why a baby needs to be cuddled and to be hugged and assured, reassured. As we grow older, it's inappropriate for you to be all up on your mama like that or your siblings and so forth. But you go out and you begin to establish more relationships with other people, right? But there's a focus on interpersonal relationships as you grow and expand. More serious, one-on-one, intimacy. Trusting, acceptance of people in general, receiving and giving affection, expressing love. All these are the need for belonging, for love, right? Then After that, we talk about another fourth level, which has to do with the esteem need. We're going to call that tonight. All right? Now, in Maslow's hierarchy, what he classifies esteem needs in two categories, the esteem for oneself, achievement, your mastery, your competence, your independence, right? Then there is the desire for reputation or respect from others, for status and prestige. Those are those two esteem needs that he talked about. So we work toward those things. When you see people who don't give any thought to that, don't care about them, that's evident in the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, then we know there's something wrong, right? But generally, that's what we strive to do. On that last thought, Maslow indicates that these needs for respect and reputation is most important for children and adolescents. And in a crazy way, is related to some of the mayhem and destruction that our babies have engaged in and are engaging in today in urban America. The desire for people to see them, recognize them, give them attention, to validate them, is expressed too often in criminal behavior. To understand that is to begin to address the real core issue. Why is it they out there on the street? Why are they hanging out? Why are they engaging in these disruptive, delinquent status offenses often? And just pop out the sky, but there are some unmet needs, okay? And to drive and to guide and direct these are most that those that care focus on that, right? And then lastly, this last or highest level, as Maslow would phrase it, has to do with the concept of self-actualization. I know that's a $15 billion word. Let's break it down. What is self-actualization? In other words, what he's saying in common term is that you now are at a point where you feel like you have succeeded. I've accomplished what I set out for myself. I made it. Look, Ma, I'm on top of the world. Concept of self-actualization. But you command and demand respect from your deeds, your actions, your accomplishments, and you know that you have successfully made some strides, right? And you are accomplished. Nobody can take that away from you. These are things that normally we see and normally we expect to come naturally for people, right? In the absence of certain other things, certain teachings, certain guidings and preparations, it's difficult for people to see how they have achieved these things. But what Abraham Maslow was suggesting is, on a very, very basic level, the first thing you got to do is eat, sleep, huh? And to be able to maintain yourself. Before you can get all the way up to this point where you say, hey, I made it, these are very basic things. And unfortunately, we have our homeless population. We have our population of our friends and often family members who are struggling with mental illness and economic dire straits, right? And this is in part what affects their ability to keep up. And it does dovetail or factor into some of the criminal behavior we see. It's not a justification. I'm not trying to do that at all. But I am trying to explain what's behind it. But as we are talking about tonight, we're looking for ways to make a better tomorrow. Look, we can't bring yesterday back. Today is just about gone. We can learn some things from yesterday and today that will prepare us to make tomorrow better for ourselves. And that's really what we speak to. 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, go ahead and give me a call now. I'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 563-999-3617. Now, as I wait on your call, what I'm going to do is to hear from Bobby Blue Bland, the late Bobby Blue Bland. What has Bobby Blue Bland got to do with this topic of looking forward to a better tomorrow? Well, he did a cut some years ago, 40-some years ago or greater, and I think it still have relevance today, where there are people who feel as though there is no love for me in the heart of my city. Listen to Bobby Blue Bland. Give me a call here, 563-999-3617. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dawkins. What? You mean there ain't no love? You feel like that, man? You see, that how you really feel? And it's growing up in the ain't no love. You ain't around. Well, thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Bobby. There are some people, beloved, who really feel like, man, when certain things are absent in my life, don't feel like I'm loved. Don't feel like I'm loved, huh? In my city. See? All of a sudden it gets cold, feels dark and dreary. And the point here is, as we do a better tomorrow, how do you do that? What's needed in order to accomplish that? I would argue and encourage you to think that, excuse me, my tomorrow is up to me to decide. Now, there's some things we share in common with other people. And generally, people are looking to keep up with their neighbors, their families, their friends. Only you can get up every day, keep your stride, make your normal step, and to be consistent with reaching that level of achievement for yourself that we just talked about or intimated. And we gave five different levels. We talked about the first level, meeting your basic physiological needs, right? We talked about on that second level, the need for safety, ensuring and securing certain things. Talk about the natural need for love and belonging to something or somebody. You know? It's all right to want those things. Then we talked about the fourth level, of being your esteem needs, ideas of achievement and respect, right? Recognition. But most importantly, the fifth level of what Abraham Maslow calls self-actualization, or being on the top, and that is self-actualization, right? And these are different stages he suggests. Now, you may not necessarily agree with that. That's okay. Give me a call here, 563-999-3617. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you and see what you think about that. I got my good friend right here in Nashville, Tennessee, a workman that sits on the wall, and he takes concern and cares about different people, what have you. My good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, host now for some years and two-time author, two very, very important instructional materials, I call them, Still High and The Flip Side. And I bet you if I pick his brain a little bit, he'll tell me about that flip side. Hey, what do you know? How you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I'm all right. All right, Pastor Doctor, good. What's happening, man?
Man, we up here trying to talk a little bit for the next few minutes about looking for a better tomorrow. I talked about how people struggle. Some people struggle today, man. And some of them don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow. You know what I mean? And some of them have little care about living because they've had such rough paths. So, but talk to me about that. But give me some ideas about how to hold fast and look for a better tomorrow. It may have been rough for you on yesterday. What about tomorrow?
Looking forward to a better tomorrow. That's awesome.
Yes,
all right, young man. Yeah. Looking better. Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Looking for a better tomorrow, man. It just sounds very, very interesting just to hear that. And so, of course, you know, it's a lot of things that's going on. And sometimes we, as a people, don't know the intent of certain things that would cause that to take place. And one may say, well, you got a choice. What about if you don't know that you got one? As you just said earlier, you know.
You don't know it.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, I can bear witness to that. You know, I haven't always known that my choice meant something. You know?
Mm.
You know, at some point, it could have been reminded to a group of young brothers who were growing up that your choice don't mean anything because there is one that has the upper hand. And right off, it makes you think that you're a loser. And it makes a person think that, well, since I know that if I have to go out for the team, I got to be twice as good as the other person. I said, well, why is that? Why come and just can't be equal and realize that God is no respected person? Well, see, none of that was acknowledged in my conversation. Because if you don't know God, how can you say that? And so, yes, man, it's a lot of things that's going on concerning what's causing that to take place. Just think, Pastor Doctor, if they had a heart to give, you know, the word said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's pretty deep now.
Now
when the end, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You messing me up now. You messed my mind up. Go on, fix that up now. Fix that up.
Yeah, see, there's an enemy that don't want nobody to know that. Because
that would
cause the enemy to humble themselves. And if it's an enemy, why would an enemy humble themselves and say, well, I just heard the man say that it's more blessed to give. And I got plenty. But I ain't giving them such nothing. Amen. I'm not going to. Matter of fact, I want what little bit that they do have. And, in other words, I want their mind. I want to let them know that if I can get their mind there, so something is put out there. I'm talking about an experience now. something is put out there that captures the mind of innocent people. And it's called a trap.
Yeah, man.
So that's how it all starts. And then when you're in the trap, you're gonna be blamed for being in the trap. Like as if you set your own trap.
You gotta be kidding me. Look, you're gonna put me in a trap,
I'm
gonna turn
person.
Around and pop out. Huh. Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm the blame.
That ain't
I'm
right.
The blame. I said, look at
that. Hold on.
And then I'm gonna charge myself. I'm gonna agree with you and say, yeah, I'm the blame.
What?
Yeah,
look, Pastor. My mama had 12 children. I wasn't the brightest of none of them, but that don't sound right to me, man. That don't sound right to me. You mean tell me
okay.
I'm something or someone is going to place me in some sort of divisive trap, and then I'm going to turn around and tell myself, it's my fault. I put myself here. I wanted this.
Yeah.
Explain it to me like a 3 years old, man.
And you can become convinced. Because I myself had to deal with that. I had to deal with that until I found out that that was a lie. I was like, man, you didn't do that. Why are you charging yourself with that? You was an innocent little kid. You didn't have that on your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's still happening, man, and it's going on. And when people can prosper off of knowing people don't have knowledge of that, then they make big dividends from it. So they find ways and means for it to continue. And then the blame continues as well. It's your fault.
Okay.
Why did you do
that?
Well, you want to know why I did it? Hey, man, you try to escape a trap that you can't see, and you walk in it. It's happening. Brother, it's happening. Yeah.
Look, that's like asking.
So that's why.
I'm processing what you just said. That's like asking a rat that you done caught in a trap. What you go after that cheese for? When you know good
well.
Yeah,
you don't have a business going
on there. Yeah, that cheese ain't for you.
But somebody put it there.
It wasn't just
cheese. It was cheese with the trap. So you can only imagine. It wasn't just the cheese was fine. But the trap says, I got you.
My God.
Yeah, man.
So,
that's happening, brother.
So now, here we are. It's December the 12th, 2023. And there are good people looking for better days.
Looking for a better tomorrow. Good people looking for a better tomorrow.
Well, now, here's the problem. Here's the only problem, Brother Preacher. They can't seem to see it. If you ask them, you know, where you see yourself, I don't know. I'm just trying to live for the day. There's a phrase they got on the street. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you take that what you just said, Pastor Doctrine, and say, well, how am I going to get out of it? Yeah, that's a very good question. Have you ever seen a rat get out of a trap if they got caught in? Every now and then you may see one wiggle them up out of that because it is clamping down as well, but not many times you're going to see one out of that trap.
And
so that's why I say it continues. And, you know, but still looking forward for a better tomorrow. That's the part that I like about what you said. And it's possible, it can be accomplished, but you got to have those that's concerned like yourself. You know, someone that actually have a heart to say, well, I'm pretty well off. You know, I'm educated and I got knowledge of things, but I still have compassion on those. And that's where you are, man. So I just tip my hat to you for what you're doing right now, you know, reaching out with some information. And speaking on terms of looking forward for a better tomorrow, man. That's awesome.
Our words can inspire someone under the weak sound of my voice to know that despite yesterday or even what you're facing today, there's hope for a better tomorrow. Look for it. So, sometimes we get our back against the wall, and we feel like I've been there before. I don't see it. I think it's going to be it for me. I'm about ready to quit. I'm about to go out in the blaze, man. I'm, you know what I mean? Go for broke.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, that's the concept of a person having those thoughts, you know. I might as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
don't seem like nothing's going to change.
I think about the disciples when they were amidst the sea and on board with them, Pastor, was the, the one who can bring people calm. But all they saw was the winds and the waves and the roaring sea at night.
That's it.
They said, go get Jesus. Get him up, man. Is he crazy? He sleep. How you going to sleep in the midst of a storm like this? What are you telling? Look at boy. All you got to do is say, Pete, be still.
And
I'm convinced that we tell ourselves that amidst our personal storm, peace, be still. Got to talk to a situation, man.
Yeah.
See? Look, the devil can run a good bluff on you now. Oh, shoot, man. He'll make you think you, what you say? Make you think you put yourself in a trap. Huh?
Yeah, man. I've seen it happen. I'm watching it unfold.
One of the things I talked about was, now this was just the theory of a behavioral psychologist, cat named Maslow, Abraham Maslow, but there's some to, I think it's some to his theory, Pastor. He talked about five steps to getting to the point where you feel happy as though you've achieved and you reach your pinnacle of success, right? But he said it begins with some basic things like being able to eat and find a corner to crawl up in and go to sleep. he suggests before you even want to look at somebody talking about you like somebody, want to have a relationship, you got to be able to be warm, man. You know what I mean? You have good, see what I'm saying, Pastor? Otherwise, it's going to be hard for you to expand out and do things there. I saw a gentleman on the street, and I'm not surprised that I'm not suggesting that I was surprised in any way. But I saw him on the street, and I noticed that he was what appeared to be homeless. You know, he appeared to be homeless, and of course, you know, he had his. I don't even know what was on the sign. It really didn't matter, did it? It really didn't matter, did it? And my first was, I wonder how often he's out here. Now, some guys I see every day. When I drive a certain path back and forth from work to home, see him every day. This guy, I don't remember seeing too often, though. And that was enough for me to stop and say, hey, man, you hungry? You know what I mean? Now, some people would say that ain't none of your business, why he out there or what put him out there. But when you want to help somebody, Pastor, isn't it useful to have some information to go off of? Or maybe that's just being too nosy. Help me with that.
When you're concerned, you know, you do something like that. You know, when you have those thoughts of, you know, there's a thing where it's simply said, consider yourself being out there, meaning that it could have been you.
Okay.
So would you want somebody to just ride on by you as if you are nothing? At least somebody is showing some concern. You know, how about that? You know, somebody cares. Man, could you all imagine what that could do to a person that's out there like that and has no hope, and all of a sudden here comes
someone is concerned. Man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A person that seems to have no hope, lost all hope, and then suddenly become someone that's concerned. That would be awesome, man. So
yeah,
I
guess the problem was he wasn't the only one out there. Now, some of the others been there for several days, man. They had chairs, man. They were posted up with chairs. But I'm like, wait, y'all didn't got comfortable out there on the block.
On the block, but they're comfortable. Yeah.
They're not, I mean, they're on the block. I saw this one brother. He had one of these leaning chairs, you know, it leaned up and down. He got the dude, you know, is this the office?
Man.
You know,
yeah, he's very comfortable.
You don't want to take it from those who are really struggling, who are dire need. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that, but at some point we have to start asking, like Jesus asked the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made whole?
Yeah,
I love his approach. Yeah, we know dude been there what, 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, ceremonially, same thing, and all Jesus asked him was one simple question: hey, do you want to be made whole? There he went to go give him a long, drawn out story about what's been happening and why he could and that and yabba 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 yabba. Look, man, I don't want to hear all that. Do you want to be made whole? I can tell you how to. Look, but you know what he told me? Go ahead, Pastor.
What's that? And that was just something that he just didn't know. He just was dealing with the things that he was dealing with, the way he was dealing with it, and that's one of the things that happened. And that's why they come up with the explanation, you know, that, okay, well, I've been right here, then nothing take place, you know, things like that. And, you know, that's the power of not knowing that someone came to give you a hand and you didn't know, so you wasn't able to comprehend.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
it just takes a person to be able to comprehend that, and suddenly it takes place, man. That'll be a celebration right there.
I noticed his approach, though, Pastor. He first informed him. He first informed him and let him know that I've troubled those waters right there. I have troubled.
Yeah.
I'm in a position to a better tomorrow. The waters are waiting on you. Huh? And this is probably what messed him up when he told him, I want you to take a different behavior than what took the last 38 years. I want you to fix bed up.
Yeah, man.
And bust him up. I probably messed him up, right? Ain't nobody ever told him to do that, is
it? Oh, man, what an approach right there, brother. That was an approach for real.
Yeah. He was used to entertaining people with his sob story.
Yeah.
But Jesus snatched it out of the air. Yeah. And so that's what I wanted to do for the brother. I don't know how much what we were able to do it, but I pray that. Because when I left him, he had at least three numbers that he had a cell phone, and he had three numbers that he said he was going to call them. He was going to call them the next day. And one of the three numbers was my number. I hadn't heard back from him. But one of the three numbers was, because I wanted to, you know, give me a report, let me know how it's going, and, you know, if something else we can do, we'd be happy to do that, bro. And what stood out about him was he wasn't somebody that's on the same block. He didn't have him a chair. And had him a little cooler next to him. I'm like, man, y'all, is this the office or what, man? What's going on out there on this street there now? This don't seem right.
They know how to do it.
Talk about a hustle. Talk about a professional hustle. But anyway, the wall is on with us. We're talking from the topic looking forward to a better tomorrow. I think you should do that. We still got a few more minutes here. We're going to cut off around 8 o'clock tonight. It's about 7:46 Central Time right here in the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. 563-999-3617. That is the number to call. That's the number to call. We are here waiting. We'll entertain your question and your comment if you give us a call between now and about another 14 minutes or so. All right? But I just want to take a minute to recognize the tragedy that we experience here in the Middle Tennessee area, particularly in Madison and Clarksville. Where I think it was reported to be a level 3 tornado. And if I read correctly, I think this is the first time in over 20 years or better or so that we've had tornado touchdown. I know in 2020 we had a tornado, but it wasn't as hard as this one was. And there were 6 fatalities, 2 babies and 4 adults. We certainly send a prayer out to those families in their moment of grief and bereavement. And we know that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. That's good news today. That's good news today. And we realize that, Pastor, some people say it was really bad because it's close to Christmas. Now, I know the importance of Christmas, but anytime, if it was in the middle of September, it don't matter. You know what I mean? It don't matter what the holiday is. It's a bad thing, right?
Amen. That's bad. But that's amazing on how you said that, Pastor Doctor, when it's made known of a particular day versus just that it just took place. And that was just, sad case, and it's just...
What?
I don't know what day made it any worse. I don't know if it could have been avoided because of that day. That's nasty. But I still think the heartfelt love that the people deserve, I think they was getting that, and that's what really counts. It's
right.
How it was coming together and showing love to the people on whatever day it is. That's the thing. Right. So I don't focus what kind of day it was. I just focus on knowing the hurt and the harm that was brought forth to those families. And like you say, we pray and believe God that they would be strengthened through the process of it, because that's pretty difficult, man. Situation like that. Yeah. And don't you know that in the midst of all of that, Pastor Doctor, it's still things that's going on right now that you would think that would not be happening right now. But there's a demand for the insanity that continues to flow. I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
What you just made reference of, you made it known about they were so thinking about a particular day instead of thinking about the people, to the point where they don't even have no value, concerning the people and the things that was going on. Some people I heard say positive things like, well, this is just stuff right here that we have to deal with, but we can't get back to life. And I love to hear those people who have lost everything, they say, we can get that back.
Get that back.
And I love how they dealt with that. And so I like to say this, man, in the midst of all of that that's going on, still the insanity of people that's still dealing with things that they have no control over, and that's something about the trap that we talked about earlier, and still be able to look for a better tomorrow. And that's the thing that I'm – how can I look forward for a better tomorrow when this moment right here, I can't break free from the trap? And it's something about the power of the trap. Let me talk for a second about what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26.
Come on now.
It says that we may come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about doing his will now. The tragedy that happened to those people, they was not doing his will.
Right.
And
right.
they had need of people to comfort them by coming to see about them and to support them. And people was coming from everywhere, I was told, just to see about the hurting people. But you got
right.
those people that are in the trap. It's going to be in the trap tomorrow if they're not receiving a better day that comes. And the trap is going to clamp down on them stronger, and they're not going to be able to get loose. But who's coming to see about them? And that's what I like about looking forward for a better tomorrow. So on this particular segment of the show,
yes,
we should go and run and tell somebody that there is someone to come to see about you, so you can look forward to a better tomorrow. And who is that somebody that's going to come see about you? Well, you got the man on the broadcast by the name of Pastor Doctor. Amen. You put a thought out about looking forward for a better tomorrow. And then I come in and I think about the hurting people and how I was in a trap and how I couldn't get free. But somebody came to hear about me. That's the part I'm liking right now. And when that person came to hear about me, I didn't break free immediately, but I know that I received power because he came to see about me, gave me comfort to believe that there will be a better tomorrow. I got a chance to experience that, man. And I just trust that maybe someone in someone's family right now that's dealing with something that's being controlled by the substance of something that's controlling them and in that trap and they can't get free, but the power of looking forward to a better tomorrow. Keep that faith. Believe that there is hope.
Wow.
Because somebody will come to see about you, and if you got 2 minutes left. You got a few minutes left. If someone listening to you right now, Pastor Doctor, and say, well, I know I have someone in my family.
Come on.
And they seem to have a problem escaping, but no one came to see about them. And then I just heard a man on the radio say, there is hope. Well, I can't keep it to myself, Pastor Godfrey, because that drug that I was afflicted with, that drug that controlled my life for those 20-plus years, that chemical that was so small but it had the power that I did not have for 20 years of my life, and I was just looking forward for a better tomorrow. Had it not been for that man who came out in the streets to say something encouraging to me, there's no telling what would have happened, where I would have been. But 31 years later, I've been free.
Watch out, man.
Just because someone came to see about me and caused for me to realize that there is a better tomorrow. So keep the faith. Tell somebody in your family that there is hope, no matter what kind of grip they got on you. I love that, Pastor Doctor, that thought that you put out there looking forward for a better tomorrow because somebody came to see about me. Amen.
Yeah.
I turned it back over to you on that note.
No, you got it. Now hold the mic, man. Hold the mic. Hold. Powerful thought. Appreciate that. I appreciate that. And you know, as you were saying, there are people, good folk, man, who just need to hear that time to give up.
No.
Time to give in. And time to give in. Because that's hope for look for it. You ought to look for it. If you ain't, you don't see it right now, keep looking. Keep looking.
Yeah, just keep looking, man. You know, because they're sitting down like tomorrow, I might as well go out with a bang because no one has come to see about me. And that thought could take place. You never know. But what you're doing, though, you're taking time out to show concern about someone else, man. So I praise God for you for doing that. Somebody might be listening. You know, just tune in and say, "Yeah, I'm gonna pay attention to that."
I believe that.
In those storms, the tornadoes that came by, man, people came to see about the people. It was all coming together.
And that's
the beauty of it. So in our neighborhood, man, we need somebody to come see about
hurting people. It's another kind of storm over there in our neighborhood. It's another kind of storm that's ravaging our neighborhood, isn't it? Folks need to know that.
And it's so hard. Yes, sir. It's so hard to try to get free from the storm all by yourself. See, those people are not by themselves, man. Somebody actually showed up. And, I mean, they was volunteering. This is what I was told.
Oh, yeah.
That's the beauty of having a concern. So don't put the people down that's out there. Just know somebody came to see about you, so think about what it would be like if you just go see about somebody and don't try to continue to press them down if they're already down. Amen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They might not be able to come to themselves just like I was able to. It took a long time for me to come to myself, you know, but I finally came to myself, and now I understand what it's like to look forward for a better day, and it happened. You know, I don't have to wake up, you know, wondering where I'm going to get another hit of that stuff that's trying to destroy me.
Watch it now.
I just thank God, and I just thank him for letting me experience what it's like to be free. If it don't be for St. John chapter 8, verse 32, I would have never gotten free. Because it says, and you shall know the truth.
And the
truth shall make you free. And that's all they need. They just need the truth. That's all. You know.
Ain't nothing wrong with no truth, is
it? No, sir. That's what we need. They've been holding back on us for so long. And they feel like, well, what's the use? You know, I might as well go out with a bang. That's exactly what you said earlier.
I heard folks say that, man. I'm going for broke, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go anyway, so I'm going to go out with a bang.
May as well. I mean, that's the thought pattern. That's the kind of grip that it would have on you when you're being controlled like that. And that's why I say, you know, if we come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The devil has a will.
Yes, he does.
And that's what happened.
Yes, he does. All right, man. Powerful thought, man, to leave on right there. I would like to say, but we got to go. That's a good note to leave on right there. That's a good note. You've been listening to Brother Ricky Waller, our co-host here. He laid it out there, and we're grateful for that. And so you won't be able to call me at 563-999-3617, but if you just need somebody to tell you that there's hope for a better tomorrow, call me on my cell phone, 615-498-4669, 24/7. You don't believe me,
right.
Ask your wife. She'd be glad sometime with you. But that's all right. Just give us a holler. We thank you. You've been listening to Talk Straight. And we're going to cut it off until another episode on next Tuesday, Lord willing, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, right here in Nashville, Tennessee. But we talked from the topic, looking forward to a better tomorrow. And my friend just laid it down there, how and why you could and should look forward to a better tomorrow. Pastor, thank you so much, my friend.
Yes,
and we're going to go ahead and cut out, and we're going to listen to a little Tremaine Hawkins talking about change. A change.
Oh, yeah.